This is Dr. Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Here's Dr. Holly Lucille.
Hi, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. This is going to be a compelling, motivating show, because I have a guest that's going to help us navigate unhappy relationships. And I think that it's going to touch a nerve just from me saying that for a lot of you. I just want to introduce her right off the bat and get right into it. Winifred Riley is a marriage and family therapist with a private practice in Berkeley, California. In her 35 years of clinical practice, she has treated hundreds of couples, many of whom felt certain that they were headed for divorce. Okay, I've been married for over 10 years. I understand this so much. Winifred has been a guest lecturer on marriage and sexuality, and her writing has appeared on the Huffington Post, The Good Men Project, XO Jane, and on her own relationship advice blog, which you gotta check out, Speaking of Marriage. She has written a book. I have it right here in my hand, and it's called, get this, It Takes One to Tango, How I Rescued My Marriage with Almost No Help from My Spouse, and How You Can Too. That's what we're going to be talking about this time. Winifred, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I love the title of your book, because I have always said, believe it or not, and you know what? I pick up a lot of things from a lot of people, and sometimes I get scared because I'm like, did I make that up myself? Where did I get that? Did I credit the right person? But
yeah, I know.
I have often told people, you know, that our friends who are looking for, you know, to me for advice, that it only takes one person to change a relationship. And here you are proving it, because I think you did it in your own marriage, and we can talk about that. But this lovely book, It Takes One to Tango. Tell me about that.
Well, you know, it's the name came to me after I had actually done my own tangoing in my own marriage, after I had taken the lead.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, you know, it really, everybody says that it takes two, and we
right.
have all of these beliefs. I mean, there's a whole line of cliches. Meet in the middle, 50-50, you know, there's a whole bunch of them, and they're all very well-meaning, except they leave people stuck. And so, you know, when my lovely husband was just not as enthusiastic about change, we'd sort of hunkered down, and he thought, well, you know, this is what marriage is. It can be really hard and stuck, and he was prepared to just kind of, you know, slog it through. And I had a vision for a way in which we could be healthier and stronger, and I just couldn't exactly persuade him to jump on board on my change train. And so I just decided to take some of the theories that I knew about marriage, that you really can only work on your partner. You
uh-huh.
have to take risks in order to grow. In order to grow, you can't stay in your comfort zone. So I took all of these things and I put it together in really an experiment. And I really didn't know how it was going to work. I just knew that I didn't want the status quo. So I just started changing myself. And I was quite pleasantly surprised to learn a lot of things, and to also discover that my marriage started changing as I was changing the marriage from inside.
I just think that is so brilliant. I really do, because I feel like you are speaking the truth, but gosh darn is it scary when you're in a couple, in a relationship. And we all know we're separate yet together, right? We're definitely together in a lot of different ways, but we are separate human beings. We grow at different, and in order to commingle and do it together, you know, it seems like it might be easier. Like, hey, come on. But to just do it by yourself and go, okay, I want to change, and so I'm going to change, and risk the enmeshment, or risk, you know, those ties, that's just bravery. But it paid off, didn't it?
Well, yeah, it definitely paid off. But, you know, the risk was really, actually the hardest part was letting go of the paradigm. It was like stepping out with no, you know, I had no roadmap, and I didn't really, I had no idea where I was going. And so I had to keep fighting ideas like, you know, this is a waste of time. He's never going to change. This isn't going to work. you know, all of that kind of negative stuff. And there was no real, there's no real support for this notion. I mean, you know, we all say, yeah, yes, don't change your partner. But we all actually secretly figure, you know, but maybe I'll be successful. Or maybe a therapist will change my partner. And,
oh, yeah.
You know, so that was the hard part of, you know, of just deciding to disentangle. See, you know, it wasn't like I was sacrificing the good parts of my relationship. I was really starting to eliminate the bad parts.
Oh, I love that. That's interesting. Yeah, that's
well,
great.
Yeah,
and
I
you
mean,
so...
you know, the circular... Yeah, go on.
No, please. The circular... Yeah,
okay,
the,
so,
well...
you know, the circular fights that people get on, what I call, you know, the hamster wheel fights. And you go around and around and around. They're so demoralizing, and they're so... They're just fatiguing. And, you know, for me, when we would get into our circular fights, I would start to lose my ability to think. You know, and I see myself as a fairly bright person.
Yes.
I wouldn't be able to finish a sentence. And I, you know, be, like, murky. My husband was, like, squidding. You know, he would just do this thing, and I was dizzy. And I thought, I just, this is just not right. And I committed myself to just figuring out what I need to do, how I could move myself. What I talk about this metaphor of it, of your relationship is a chess game. Your spouse makes a move, and then you have to make a move. And then they make a move, and you make a move. And, you know, we spend so much time, like, you made that move. I don't like your move. Your move is messing me up. Why did you roll your eyes while you made that move? You know, and so we get involved in what, the other person's move. But I thought... what's my move? What do I have to do so that I can stay in a conversation with my husband and figure out why we get derailed, why we go in circles, why I want to wring his neck? Like, why
right.
is this happening? You know, and so, you know, so I slowed it down. Yeah.
No, there's, I want to, my couples therapist, our couples therapist, I should say, has this
yeah.
term, and I want to try to understand, RIS, I think, was the abbreviation, and it was reciprocal interconnected synergies, I think, that's it.
Okay. Okay, so I don't know exactly what that means, but here, I can go at it from two ways. I mean, can you say a little more about it, or you want, or, because I don't know, I don't know the term, but I think on a negative, if it's a negative thing, there's a contagion of anxiety, and we get hooked in our partner's anxiety or their you know their tension, their stress, their upset. We get hooked in, and it is very synergistic. It just snowballs. So there's that. But I also think there's another side, which is when I calm down, I'm calming the system down, and. You know, it's like I learned this from my son's kindergarten teacher when the room was really wild and loud and people were yelling, kids were all over the place, she would start to talk really softly. And the whole energy would come down because someone would notice the teacher's talking and I can't hear her. And they would quiet down and someone else would quiet down. The whole room would quiet down and she didn't yell, shut up, everybody. She just quieted everything down. And so there's this way in which you quiet down the system by... no longer playing your half of whatever circular argument, whatever tug of war there is, whatever patterns there are. You know, one of the basic premises of the one to tango approach is change the rules. Who made
yeah.
these rules? Oh, I can't talk about this. We can't do that. Who made these rules? You made these rules. Change the rules. What do you mean we can't talk about money? Go ahead. Well, we
yeah.
can't talk about sex because blah, blah, blah happens.
Right.
Go ahead. Pull up your socks,
right.
take a deep breath. It could be scary. I had a client who used to say, I might get hurt, but I'm not going to die. And he would repeat that to himself. I might
I
get hurt,
it.
But I'm not going to die. And then he would take his risks.
I love it. So you and I touched on this just with this one sort of mantra that I've had about relationships where we're separate together, but you, in your own marriage, you discovered that in order to be closer and better connected to your husband, you needed to also be able to be solid and separate. Can you talk more about this?
Yeah, you know, it's counterintuitive, but if I go back with my example, of the two of us kind of running around on this hamster wheel, boy, were we connected in that. And in order for us to have a kind of more spacious, sane life, someone needed to take a step back. We take a step back, we get some perspective. We can calm ourselves better. You know, when somebody's energy is right up in your face, it's really difficult to think, you know, when heated up energy, you know, anger or frustration or just nonsense is going on in your relationship, if you're right up in it, you can't see what you're doing. You're just flooded. So you have to take a step back. You have to get separate. You have to know who you are. Somebody says, you know, the problem here is that you're just not listening to me. And you think, I am listening to you. And, you know, it's like, well, the problem here is just that you are blah, blah. And I say to people, yeah, but if your partner told you you had polka dots all over your face, would you run to the mirror to look? You know, it's like they say this. What do you think? We have to connect with ourselves. We have to know, what do I think? What do I know? What is my point of view? Sure, my spouse says you start all the fights. Do I think that's true or not? I wrote in my book that, that I'd swear at the worst of it, my husband and I could argue about whether the earth was round or flat if somebody took a strong stand against it. You know, that it would just be, people can argue about anything. But the thing is, what do I think? I think that the earth is round, and I'm going to stick with that. And I don't care what he says.
Well, I always, I actually shut the conversation down if somebody is doing you statements, because I don't feel like it's helpful. It's like, I feel like if we're in a conversation and it's heated, if you can own your statements and you can own your feelings and you can own what is coming out of your mouth by simply, you know, because it's so easy to go, you.
It's
it feels good sometimes. Yeah. But I think that even myself, if I challenge myself, like, I need to express myself, I need to be truthful for where I'm coming from, I think it makes a big difference. Those I statements, I know it's like communication 101, but it does make a difference when couples are, I mean, because you also, it's like you write in your book that one of the things that you say in your first session with a new couple that you're working with is relationships are challenging for everyone, not just you. Why is that so important? What? Tell me more about that.
Well, you know, people feel like it, you know, people say, we must be the only ones struggling, which is ridiculous when you listen to your, you know, you see people in the street arguing. And, I mean, you know, or half of your friends are divorced. But people still feel like they're the only ones struggling. And so I want to kind of get that out of the way. Most likely, nothing is actually wrong. The two of you are lacking skills. Most likely you have not chosen the wrong person. Most likely it's not that, one of you is not marriage material. I mean, of course there are some marriages that, you know, we're just so unhealthy and people, really are that they end up deciding not to stay married. But most people are engaged in normal marital difficulty. They have a lack of tools. They have mistaken ideas. Many of us have horrible role models. You know, parents who fought and then got divorced. We never saw anyone problem solving, or idealized role models. Like, you know, I know somebody whose grandparents were married for 75 years and they swore they never had a bad thought about one another in their entire lifetime. I mean, like, you know, it's like, what are you supposed to do with that? You know, and then meanwhile, you're having an argument on your honeymoon, ready to kill each other. You know, and so you think, what's wrong with us? So I want people to know, nothing is wrong. Marriage is difficult. We need skills. We need tools. We need to be able to calm ourselves down in the presence of the other person. And if we go back a minute more to this, we need to be separate. We need to be connected to ourselves in a way that's strong before we can connect with another. Otherwise, we merge into each other. We lose ourselves. And then people turn around and they say, I'm not myself. I don't know who I am. I'm just what other people want me to be. Or they say, you know, as I was saying before, we can't do this, we can't talk about that. There are all these, you know, sort of mutually agreed upon rules and patterns that really just don't work. And so marriage is hard because we enter it, we don't know what it's going to be like to be with that person. And, you know, I mean, if you take a traditional vow, there you are, going to spend the rest of your life in a small space with one person with no exit, and then you just say, well, right. Okay, good luck. I mean, how are you supposed to do right. that? You know, we learn on the job, and it's difficult. We don't always, we have, some of us have, you know, terrible habits. Things sure. about ourselves that we're not aware. We come in with baggage. I can't trust anybody, and now I'm supposed to be married to you.
Right. Well, you know, I think the other thing, too, that's so interesting to me, and I've thought about this many, many times, because I'm 51 years old now, and I'm in a very happy marriage. But for a long time in my life, throughout my going back to school, I went back to medical school when I was, I think, 30.
Wow.
I was single.
Uh-huh.
And I can get away with everything when I'm single, I notice. But if I want to be provoked,
right.
you know, being provoked is like, uh-huh. I feel like when you partner up with somebody, they're basically holding this mirror in front of you. And it's like, oh man, now I've got to face this because there's a witness, there's somebody
exactly.
else.
Exactly. I mean, I love that part. I mean, even though, you know, I don't always take all that feedback in a gracious way. You know,
right.
mostly my husband is right. Not always, but he's not always right about me. But you know, I have to take these things in. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, to hear you say, it's a good thing. It's just a hard thing.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing, too, that I've noticed throughout my life and my getting into relationships is at the beginning, and this has been scientifically validated, there is a chemical that is released when you're starting to just be, you know, together, and it's oxytocin.
Yes.
And you don't need to eat, you don't need to sleep, you don't, you know, you just are, and it's
wonderful.
Embalming. It's wonderful. But guess what? It goes away. It comes back. Homeostasis is once again, hopefully, you know, sort of achieved. And then it's like, huh. So then there's the real, you know, every day to day, where the oxytocin is not there anymore. And you got to keep it fresh. And I love for people to know about that, because I think in the beginning, you're like, oh my gosh, I love you so much, let's get married. And then, okay, we're married. And then that decreases. And, you know,
and
other.
I didn't know this about you. Oh my God, you do what?
Yes, exactly. Well, and I've always said, you know, it takes a long time to get to know somebody, let alone myself. I'm going to take a lifetime getting to know myself. Like, I have new experiences every day, I respond to them in a different way. And understand about my responses and where they came from, or do I want to work on that, let alone applying that to yet another person. It is a lot of work.
Well, you know, there's this great quote by H.L. Mencken, which says, a man can be a fool, and this applies to women too, a man can be a fool and not know it, but not if he's married. This idea that you can't hide. Somebody's going to know you. Someone is going to see you. You can kid yourself, oh, I'm easy to get along with when you live alone. You know, oh, I don't get bent out of shape very often, you know, when you live alone. And then, you know, you get somebody who leaves their socks on the floor or doesn't close drawers all the way or snores or, you know, any number of things, you know, burns the skillet. That these things, we suddenly realize all that blissful wonder of courtship, I think it's really designed, you know, it's adaptive. It's designed to get people not to see each other's flaws long enough to procreate, and that's it. And then that fades away, and then you have to deal with another person. I mean, so I think it's sort of biologically built in to make this person look good, and you know, in many of those things are actually real. I sometimes say to people, you know, it's good to remember all of the things that you thought were so sweet and charming, because when you're in the point where you're driving each other crazy, you remember that you actually loved this person in a whole, full, universal way. And it can help us kind of get through what I think is a really hard stage, which is dealing with the fact that we're not exactly the same the way we're not the way we thought in courtship. We're not perfect and we're not the same. And then what we have to do is actually, I think that the work of marriage, people say, well, you know, you just have to figure out how to get along and how to agree. And I think it's the opposite. I think that the best of us figure out how to disagree and how to do it gracefully, how to do it without losing ourselves or strong-arming each other or pitching a fit.
Yeah, I think it's such important work. I mean, there's so much good work that can be done inside a relationship, and I think one of the probably best things that people could do is not when your relationship is, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Don't go turn inward and scratch your head and say, hey, you know, be honest, like, I'm not real comfortable lately, or, you know, we need to work on some things, or encourage that intimacy and honor the fact that that separateness, I think, that you talk about is so important, because we grow. Every path has its pace, right? We are provoked at different stages in our lives. We grow at different stages in our lives. We're constantly changing and evolving, and I think that's healthy. But that's the fact of not being a entity, not being just a marriage, just being separate people. So, Winifred, thank you so much. I want to just remind the listeners, the book, the website for the book, 1-2-tango.com. And I do believe that that is probably one of the most poignant things that anybody could understand, is that it doesn't take two to tango. When you want to change your relationship, it just takes one. And it's a brilliant book, folks. Get it. Yeah, you can take the lead. And then also your blog, speakingofmarriage.com as well. Thank you so much, Winifred.
Oh,
folks, this is Dr.
Really
Holly Lucille's Mindful Medicine. Yes, good. I'm so happy. Thank you for being here, and thank you for your work, because I think it helps. I think, you know, when we make our relationships better, we make ourselves better, we can affect the world. We all can do better, and we all need to do better at this point in time, because you know that's true. But thank you again, folks, for listening to Mindful Medicine. If you like the show, just go over to iTunes, rate it. We'll grow our community. We'll continue to wake up and use our minds so we can take back control over our health and our options. And there's so many out there. All right, until next time, talk to you soon.